Good morning. So for those of you who are hoping to hear Reg this morning, I apologize. Reg will often talk about how by the time he gets up here, a sermon's already been preached, and so I understand the feeling very well. Before we get started, let's go ahead and pray one more time, if you will, with me. God, we give thanks to you today. May we hear your word and become doers of it, actively practicing all that you place into our hearts. Give us the ears to hear your word, the eyes to see it, the mind to understand it, the feet and hands to do it, Father. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So the topic today is not difficult. We were right on the Thanksgiving Eve, so that made the scope narrowed down a little bit, but not just a great deal, because giving thanks is all throughout the Scriptures. I am not exactly what you would define as an eloquent person. However, I'll do my best in portraying some of the most excellent things that God, one of the most excellent gifts that God has given us today. There's a story of a mother who was working in her kitchen, making bread, I think, and her children were playing in the backyard, and the doorbell rang. And she goes to the door, just kind of shaking her head, going, okay, it's some sales guy coming to the door. And she opens the door, and there's her three-year-old little boy gazing up lovingly at her, holding this critter, this rabbit. And he goes, look, mommy, a baby bunny. She begins to panic, and she goes, in his hands is the largest rat she's ever seen. She goes, put it down, put it down, put it down, and she slams the door. And the little boy, still holding the rat on the other side of the door, is going, mommy, it's a baby bunny. You never said thank you for that gift. I forgive you. It did not get in the house, so there is a great deal of opportunity to give thanks there. I also did not get bit, so that's also a good thing. That is the condition of my heart. See, I think that often we think that the gifts that we go to give someone else, we look forward to the people when we give that gift. We look for that appreciation in their eyes. We seek the gratefulness that we expect from them, and sometimes we get surprised when we don't see it. And you know, part of the opportunity to give gifts is that we ourselves are refreshed when we seek to refresh others. So when we ourselves turn around and give thanks to God and to others, we are offering refreshment back to them. C.S. Lewis said, we ought to give thanks for all fortune. If it is good, because it is good. If it is bad, because it works in us patience, humility, and the contempt of this world and the hope of our eternal country. First Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I don't know about you, but I find many opportunities where I don't feel like giving thanks. I find many opportunities where the idea of giving thanks is far outside of my scope. The idea of giving thanks in a moment where you are ill or you've lost a loved one or your car is just gone. And God, I've shared this before, God has a great sense of humor and he loves to laugh at me, but he loves to wait for me to ask of him things. And I think I've shared this once before, the most recent thing that God did, but he has the most awesome sense of humor. I merely work on medical carts and stock medicines in these carts. That's what I do for my daily bread. And I am down in Beaumont working on this cart, banging my head against the wall. I've disassembled it, reassembled it, disassembled again, reassembled it. I've been there for hours trying to get this cart for a simple function to work and the electric components and things to go together. And as I'm working, it's a nursing home. So people are coming and going. Older folks are coming and going. The typical activities that you would see, and I'm off to one side. And the whole time that I'm there, almost an entire 4 hours, is an elder gentleman sitting in a chair looking straight ahead. I'm off to the side. And I finally threw my arms up in the air, and I said, I just can't do it. I'm going to have to come back. I didn't say that out loud, but about the time I thought that, the first words that out of this gentleman's mouth are, "Have you prayed about it?" "No, I haven't prayed about it." So I said, "God, I need help." Almost instantly, a nurse comes around the corner and goes, "What, you're still here? Hey, you know, why don't we just use this cart that's in the back that we haven't been using for months? It's the exact duplicate product, and we just switched them out, and I took the other one back to the shop to work on." And God loves and wants to pour his grace and his mercy out on us, but he waits and seeks, and you can almost see him going, "Just ask. Just ask, and I will pour my blessings out on you. Just give thanks in asking, and it will happen." Donna and my children, their faith far exceeds mine all of the time. And they have their little chicks, and their hearts are so tender, and I just treasure that tenderness. And this one little chicken gets stepped on, and I mean, it is looking bad. It's a little chick. It's like, oh boy. All right, so here comes another conversation about death. There's no doubt about it. We're going to have to put the chicken down. And said, "All right, if the chicken's not walking by tonight, we're going to have to put it down." She says, "Daddy, just wait a little longer." Okay. So that morning, chicken's not looking good. She said, "Daddy, chicken's going to get better. We prayed about it." So I come home that night, and I couldn't tell which chicken was which because they were all running around. And you know, it's these little things, and I just thank God for that opportunity where God can show his glory in their lives. I mean, in the big things and the little things, you know, you hear these requests from the kids all the time, especially my boys back there in third grade, "Prayer for my chicken." We pray for more chickens back there than you can shake a stick at. But the reality is, it's personal to them. And it is their window into how God provides for their needs. And so it gives them the opportunity in turn to go, "Wow, you are God. You are all powerful." Now, when the chicken gets eaten, that's a whole other conversation we have to go through. But it still gives us an opportunity to stop and give thanks. In hospice and in working with so many different hospice patients, one of the toughest questions is why. Why is my dad gone now? Why has he suffered so much? Why won't she just die instead of clinging to this miserable existence? And maybe the answer is because God has more for them to do. Maybe it's because God was going to call them home. But one of the things that we so often forget to ask is, "God, thank you for them being in our life, for all the time that they have poured into us, for all the time that we have had with them." There are 76 times that the word thanks, give thanks, is mentioned in the scripture. Now, I've been told that if it's mentioned more than once, we better pay attention. So 76 times, boy howdy, let's pay attention. Thanksgiving is mentioned 32 times, at least in the NIV, and various other versions. It's mentioned up to 38 times. In just doing a little bit of research from the medical journal, they found some unique benefits for a grateful person. Their relationships were richer and fuller. Their health was generally much better and much improved. They were less angry because they were able to be more empathetic because they were constantly seeking the opportunity to be grateful. They slept better. They thought better of themselves. And they actually, as a general rule, again, this is the medical journal, they actually had a higher IQ. Now, that's people constantly trying to find a physical grip on a spiritual truth. They see the physical benefits, the residual benefits, the little bit that's around the edge. But inside of those, the richness is in the spiritual aspects of our ability to be grateful. Now, I want to open the door for you guys to throw out some opportunities, some benefits of being grateful. So just, I want to throw it out to you guys. What do you guys recognize as some of the benefits of having a grateful heart?
You enjoy the things that you have more if you're grateful for them.
And that word would be broken down as?
What?
What word would that be broken down as?
Gratefulness.
Gratefulness, okay, or contentment.
Yeah.
Okay, what else?
Relationships.
Okay, so that's a spiritual. It's a spiritual gift on the other side of that spectrum. Yep. What else? Yes, ma'am.
Giving honor where honor is due.
Giving honor where honor is due. Okay, glorifying God. Anyone else? There's a lot of them out there. I'm not looking for a silver bullet. I promise.
I think when we're grateful, others want to do more for you. Because they enjoy the feedback of your gratefulness. That's just humanity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was watching a TV show one time, and this gentleman wanted to express his gratefulness, but being a man's man, you can't say, hey, I'm sorry or thank you. So his friend comes to him and says, let me give you a piece of advice. Ask him for a favor, and that's how he'll know you're grateful. And he did, and sure enough, the guy recognized it that way and said, thank you for asking me for that favor. You know, it's weird how differently we communicate in that regard. But it was recognized in that way. What are some of the other benefits of gratefulness?
It's an antidote to selfishness.
It's an antidote to selfishness. Okay. Steve?
I was going to say something similar, because I notice in my kids that when they're not being thankful for things they should be, they're being selfish and miserable, and the act of deciding to be thankful makes something that was already good actually enjoyable when it was previously, it wasn't what I wanted, it wasn't exactly the thing I wanted, it was something different.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yes, sir.
I think it also tells you the giver of good things. You know, I have customers that are new age, and I have a lot of work that just falls on my lap sometimes at the right time. And I was explaining that, well, I give thanks to God. This person said to me, well, Gil, you know, you are just manifesting this. This is you. And I said, no, it's not me. Trust me. It's where you give gratitude to. You know, it's not something I'm doing. I'm not God. I'm creating this world. It's I am thankful. What is it? Is it Romans 1 where he goes through this litany of bad things and he gets to the end and says, man, I didn't even give thanks. That's almost like God was saying, and that's a biggie. It's really important to you. If something is happening and you're being blessed by God, stop, look up, and cry out to him, because it puts you in the right perspective. He's the one giving. He's the one blessing you with things that you need.
Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Following on the heels of that, the thought came to me, being thankful may actually be part of our tithe as far as our spirit.
Mm-hmm.
As far as,
yeah, I mean, a very extension of our physical tithe is recognizing that all good things come from the Lord.
Yes.
This is very true. Thank you. Yes, ma'am. Very good. Yeah, that's excellent. Yes, ma'am.
Joy.
Amen to that. That's one of the top ones on my list here. Yes. Oh, there we are. Yes, sir.
Yeah, thankfulness also gives you peace. And at the same time, it opens your eyes to the wonders of God's creation around you.
Amen. That's also up there, indeed. Anyone else? Well, yes, sir. Amen. Amen.
Yeah, I was going to say, along with humility, it keeps us from pridefulness, which is the opposite of humility.
You know, if our scope and our vision is outside of ourself, when somebody cuts us off on the road, we have a flat tire, we have a rock go through our window, we have the AC go out, we have the car go out, we have a sore throat while we're trying to work and talk on the phone, whatever it may be. Those things are no longer the burden that we bear, but this is the burden that we bear with Christ. Those are the little things. And then you add to the big things, and God also bears those burdens for us and with us. Yes, sir.
I want to say that giving thanks puts things in perspective. At least for me, it does.
Amen. Chronicles 16, verse 34. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his love endures forever. He states very plainly why we give thanks to the Lord. His love and his mercy never cease. No matter what happens in our life, we're forever wrapped in the blanket of God's goodness and the blanket of God's love. I had debated about whether or not to sidestep here a little bit, but there's a scripture that says to obey is better than sacrifice. And you know, you always hear about the sacrificial lamb. You hear about the need for sacrifice in our lives. Just give a little bit more. Do a little bit more. And I guess the best example, it's kind of hard sometimes to put in perspective, but with my children, when they obey me, I feel that love from them and that respect from them. When I was working as a bagger for HEB, going around pushing carts, and if you've lived in Texas for more than a few years, you know at least 10 people that have worked at HEB. So I'm one of those 10. You can just 9 more to check off your list. And I would get out there, and big, strong, strapping young fellow, and I'd be pushing 20, 30 carts. I was that guy that almost dinged your car 50 times. And my boss would come out and say, no, just push 6. Yeah, but I have to make more trips. I can get it done faster. I can get back in and get to work. Just push 6 carts. So finally, just out of the realization I was going to obey what he told me to, because I respected who he was, I would just push 6 carts. And yeah, I made 10 times the amount of trips. But it occurred to me, as I'm pushing 6 carts, as I'm walking down, I can see around me, I began to notice the trash on the ground. This trash can over here was full. This person over here may have needed a cart. And if I'm pushing all of this weight in front of me, I can only focus on that one thing. But if I can suddenly just obey what he told me to do, the other points of sacrifice that he begins to bring to my mind, the things that had really accomplished the true goal, come into focus. The true goal for me was clean the parking lot, not just of carts, but assist everyone out there. And if I'm focusing on that one task and completely sacrificing everything for that, I'm missing the goal that was laid out for me as a bagger, as a guy that was pushing carts. We do the same thing as believers. We get so focused in on one task, and we put 100% into that, and we forget God has called us to obedience so that we can understand where we need to sacrifice. But we get so intent on sacrifice that we forget the areas where he has simply called us to obey and share that love. So that was the sidebar. I apologize for that. But Colossians 3:17, and whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Guys, I'm here to tell you, my work is 10 times more effective when I do it for God's purpose. When I'm cutting wood, it's a cleaner cut. When I'm talking on the phone, it is a conversation that is uplifting and righteous, no matter how the other end of the conversation is going. I'm able to offer a gentle and kind spirit. It is the level of patience that God provides to me is so rich. It is beyond rich. The bottom line is, as we read through Philippians 4, we see probably one of the most valuable things, one of the things that I've been most jealous of the Apostle Paul about, and that is, I have learned to be content with little or much. I'm telling you, I know we're not supposed to be jealous. I'm jealous. Because with contentment comes the ability to have rich joy wherever we're sitting, however we're sitting. And with that comes the peace. It comes the better sleep. It comes just to be able to enjoy the richness of life, the sun streaming down through the windows and the rain outside when it's coming down, all those aspects of life. And yet, he throws out that secret to contentment even before that. And he talks about, prior to his contentment, he talks about having a grateful heart. You cannot be content without being grateful. It's not possible. So now that I'm teaching the sermon backwards, if you will, turn with me to Philippians chapter 4. Another detail. Some people have a tendency to take the term contentment and confuse it with apathy in their life. Sometimes they're apathetic when they call it contentment, and sometimes they're content where others call it apathy. And I guess the Tim Van Allen definition would be, we do not sit around like a bump on a log and do nothing. That's what apathy is. We don't stop sharing the gospel or fighting the good fight. And when we're doing something around the house, we don't just get the wall halfway built and say, oh, that's good enough, you know, I'm tired, I'm going to go out and rest. That's not contentment. That would be apathy. Contentment is when you get it to a certain point and you know it's going to do the job the way it is and it looks as good as God gave you the gift to get it. So Philippians chapter 4, let me go a little bit further here. Chapter 4, verse 4 is, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men. The Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. When we have a problem and we give thanks to God, one of the things that we are doing is exactly what my kids pray. You know, they'll be praying for the folks on the prayer list or whatever, and dear God, thank you that you are going to heal them. There's no, God, please heal them. And thank you that you're going to take care of their needs. There's just this utter trust. I love and desperately crave the faith of a child as I find myself trying to throw in as a kind of a buffer for God, just in case he doesn't come through, of, if it be your will, which is true, we should pray that. But in my mind, I often throw that out as this buffer of, okay, well, if this doesn't happen, it doesn't mean you're not all powerful. And I find myself throwing that in there for my own benefit and not for the benefit of the fact that I recognize that maybe it's just not inside of God's will. So as we are going along, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. He's not saying maybe, it's a fact. He will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell on these things, and the things you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. So, you know, we have a tendency, again, kind of like the obedience is better than sacrifice, we have a tendency to focus all in one direction and not forget that there are some things required of us. We need to focus on things that are of good repute. We need to focus on things that are righteous and clean and pure. And that way, whenever we go to seek a peaceful mind through God and in thankfulness, we don't have this clutter that we have to battle our way through. But I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now that I, at last you have arrived, your concern for me, or revived your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned before, but you lacked opportunity. Now that I speak from want, for I have learned to be content in whatever circumstances I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I also know how to live and prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of being filled and going hungry, both having abundance and suffering need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. I've had the pleasure of working with a lot of benevolence issues. And it's really, really a challenge sometimes to identify people that especially you're not close with, whether or not they're expressing a need because it's simply a want, like I want this so I can save my money for a big screen TV, or if they're expressing that need because they legitimately have this need, and if they don't, this is going to happen. The lights are going to be shut off. Paul here is saying, I have enough. However, you are receiving a blessing because you are helping me because I have little. You're helping me have a little more. I have enough. I'm content with my rice and beans. But you are blessing me with just a little bit more, and because of that, you will be blessed. The very spiritual blessings that I am receiving will be heaped upon you because you have found, seen that need and reached out to me. And applicable to our body. We sit here amongst one another, and many of us, we have enough. We've got rice and beans or steaks and briskets or whatever it may be. But there will be, we still live in this American society where we have to have this mentality that I've got to have it all together or people will think less of me. I've got to be this way or people will think less of me. And so when someone comes to offer assistance in some measure, shape, or form, we have this tendency to remove from them the ability to receive the blessing of helping by stepping back and saying, no, I'm good, don't worry about it. No, don't worry about it. And not only do you remove the blessing from them, but you remove the blessing from yourself by being able to turn around and say, God, thank you. You turn around to the person who blessed you and say, I am so grateful to you. Speaking as one who has a spiritual gift of service, I get energized by going out and doing something for someone. I'll put up 500 yards of fence before I put up 2 feet of my own fence because that's my spiritual bent. That doesn't make it right. I need to take care of what's at home. But I will do that off of a simple statement of saying, thank you so much for what you've done. It energizes me. And I know there are many other brothers and sisters out here who are also servants that way and have that mindset and that heart. Guys, it is so important to understand that sometimes you need to let someone to do something for you just so that they can benefit and have that very spiritual blessing. You yourselves also know, Philippians, that at the first preaching of the gospel after I left Macedonia, no church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving but you alone. For even in Thessalonica, you set a gift more than once for my needs. Not that I seek the gift itself, but I seek for the profit which increases your account. But I have received everything in full and have abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus that you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And so we see here that the Philippians have practiced obedience. Then they've gone out and they've identified the needs inside of that obedience that would be a little sacrifice that would be most beneficial not only to those around them but their own needs. And my God will supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. So I can say in conclusion that this chapter doesn't need any type of sermon to go with it other than to just read that scripture. It's so plainly spoken and so rich and so full. I would encourage you to read it routinely. For your own encouragement, for your own edification. It has been such an important section of scripture in my life. And lastly, I just want to thank you guys for the opportunity to come and serve today in this way. On the table over there is a big blank sheet of paper. And in our family, God has teached us, it's my homeschooling again. My father learned me to speak. there's a giant piece of paper over there, and God over the years has taught us gratefulness, and we maybe have gone this far and we have this much further to go in that respect. But the benefits of gratefulness, so from December 31st up through Thanksgiving, every night we just have a list where we list things that we're grateful for. And sometime around the Thanksgiving, which is coming up, we will read those things off and just look at all the blessings God has given us. And then throughout the year, every Thursday, we continue that list. And I encourage you to find some measure, some tradition like that in your own heart, in your own, whether it's in your household or just in your own diary, of going, look what God has done for me today. Because in that practice of gratefulness, it brings great benefit. So in that spirit, whether it be for today or for future purposes, there's markers and pens over there. As we sit around and visit and fellowship for the next hour or so, as we're just going through our afternoon, go up there and just write something you're grateful for. It might be a name, and it might be a paragraph. It might be large font, and it might be small font. Just go up there and just be thankful to the Lord as a gift and say, God, you did this for me. You gave me this. You blessed me in this way. And if you're not comfortable doing that, that's fine, but I would encourage you to do that today. Will you join me in prayer in closing? God, the riches that you give us, Lord, so often personally, I look ahead to the riches to come, and I fail to receive the riches that are given right in front of my face. The blessing of being able to be thankful, which brings peace and contentment, is immeasurable. It is one of the very things, Lord, that attracts the world to us as different. And Lord, I just pray that you give myself, each one of us here, the ability to exercise that most blessed of all gifts, which is thankfulness, that does bring peace and contentment and an understanding of who you are. Lord, we ask and seek these things in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.